Welcome back to Money News. Of course, Japanese shares today plunged. They lost over 14% of their value. The Bank of Japan put about 8 trillion yen, which if I do my calculations, 8 trillion yen is about $80 billion into the financial system. $80 billion was pumped into the financial system today. It is the worst fall in the Japanese stock market over 2 days since the 1987 share crash. The Australian stock market fell to 9-month lows, and the Australian uranium producers, you'd have to say, were basically almost melting down, just as that reactor is threatening to do in Japan as well. Joining me, as he does every Tuesday night, is Roger Montgomery from rogermontgomery.com, who is, of course, our resident funds manager and stock market expert.
Oh, thank you very much.
I was wondering what word to use then, but the word expert I thought was appropriate.
I think that's more than generous. Thank you very much.
Okay, the first question. Should people have been out buying late and trading today, trying to find bargains?
I don't think there's any rush, but let me say this. I think it's important to understand that as a long-term investor, as sad as and heartbreaking as the tsunami and the earthquake was, in 5 years' time, we'll look back on this with, as I say, sad but distant memories. So long-term investors, I don't think, should be trying to take too much from the market's knee-jerk reaction or its wisdom as such. And we should be thinking, as horrible as it sounds, of what opportunities might be presented.
And what opportunities are being presented potentially?
Well, at the moment in Australia, not as much as you might think. There is a lot of talk about uranium now being on the nose and the dangers of uranium because of the nuclear reactor. They're not quite meltdowns, but that the pumps aren't cooling.
I'll declare my hand here because I have inside my super fund, I have one particular uranium stock, which I've always rated pretty highly.
Yeah.
As you are aware, you and I have spoken about it before, and it's been whacked with all the rest of them, which is Paladin, right? Now, if I go and have a little bit of a look at the uranium stocks, they have absolutely been beaten up because the expectation is if in the future no new nuclear plants are built or it is in some way curbed, then the demand for their raw material is going to be suppressed and therefore their future earning streams are going to be also significantly reduced as well.
Sure.
That would be the thinking, wouldn't it?
What have we been talking about over the last few weeks or in fact few months? We've been talking about the oil price going up. And I've been talking a little bit about the fact that I think we've passed peak oil and we're not finding any major new reserves anymore. And long term, I think that story remains intact. So long term, the price of oil is going up. Long term, coal is dirty. Long term, fossil fuels aren't the solution. The earth is warming, whether it's man-made or not is up for debate, but the earth is getting hotter and fossil fuel use is going to be curbed. And I think once all of the overreaction to what's happening in Japan settles down, we will find that China remains on its course to build a lot more nuclear reactors than we've ever seen before.
So therefore, when you see, say, for example, Paladin today, we're talking about that, down 17.5%. The stock price has come from, I think, from my memory, down recently $5.80 down to $3.26. It's an interesting one. It doesn't produce a profit. It's no recommendation to anybody else. The other one also is Energy Resources of Australia. Now,
They've got a mine life issue.
That's right.
ERA has a mine life issue.
But down 14.3% today.
Sure.
I know in the past, I think it's about 8 days, they're down something like 36%.
Yes.
That stock price, $7.07.
Well, by any definition, those kinds of moves, we call those a crash. If something falls 30%, it's a crash.
What about something that falls 20%? Was that a crash?
Well, very close to it.
Okay. Can I make a small observation to you? In the past month, in fact, just less than a month, the Australian stock market has fallen 20%.
Yeah. Well, we talked about there not being a lot of value, and we talked about I couldn't find much to buy, and I didn't know where the market. I don't know where the market's going to go, by the way. You know, there's a very big difference between valuing a company and working out what its share price is going to do. But let me say this. Share price falls aren't the trigger to buy. You don't take your cue from share prices. You take your cue from value. And so if the share price was double the value of the company and it falls 20%, well, it's not below its value yet. So it's still not cheap.
AMP shares falling from $24 or whatever they were, and they would have halved to $12.
Yeah.
And then they halved again to six.
That's right.
And they halved to three.
You've got to look at value, not price. So when we think things have dropped, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily cheap. It just means that they've dropped.
Telstra shares at $7.20.
Well, you know my view. Telstra deserves.
14 years ago would have been great value. You see. Now, I'll make another small observation to you, though.
Okay.
When we look at the market today, one of the largest, in fact, probably the largest uranium producer in Australia is BHP Billiton.
Sure.
Because it owns Roxby Downs, which is the largest deposit of uranium in the world.
It's also the largest oil producer in Australia, too.
That's my other point as well. Because BHP Billiton has had not the sort of treatment that some of those specialist uranium explorers or producers have got.
It's more diversified, isn't it?
That's right. So it shares down there 2.5%. Now, the other suggestion is that if these power plants don't use uranium in the future, they may very well use liquefied natural gas.
Well, there's an observation
that even though it was down a touch today, Woodside Petroleum has barely been touched in the past little while. So I find it quite interesting anyway. So we'll have a chat about that.
We can explain all of these small movements, Ross, but the reality is we need to think long term. Don't worry about the noise. This is noise, and it is sad, and it is massive, and it is horrible, and it is all those things, but you need to think 5 years out. Is this something that's going to concern me in 5 or 10 years' time? And we'll be looking at some other catastrophe then.
Now, if you want to give us a call, 131-873, you want to join our conversation about this? Because it is a really interesting conversation. Where is value? What is value? How do you get your head up above this? Do you get bogged down in the morass of it? Or do you simply try and jump in and buy these things too quick? What's too early? What's too late? 131-873. Otherwise, send us an email, tgb.com. Click on the feedback icon or mtr1377.com.au. We'll go to Ron. Hello, Ron.
Hi. Yeah, look, I'm totally against nuclear power as an energy source. I think that we should be looking at new safe technologies that can be used, alternatives. We need to put research into that. Anyone looking at Japan going to meltdown and people, you know, 20-kilometer exclusion zones and pollution that's going to kill people, I would say you'd have to be a lunatic to be saying that nuclear power is a great opportunity for the future. It's not green and it's not clean. It's filthy.
Well, the interesting point about this, Ron, is that it certainly is compared with carbon-fired power stations for those people who don't want greenhouse gas emissions. It's certainly clean in comparison. The second side of it also is the clean alternatives.
It's not clean. It's poisonous for 10,000 years.
And the clean alternatives you're thinking about, I presume, yes, are...
Nuclear poison.
No, Ron. The clean alternatives you're thinking about are...
Sorry?
The clean alternatives you're thinking about are...
It's not a clean alternative, and that's what I'm saying.
No. What are your clean alternatives? You said there were clean alternatives.
Solar. We can look at wind.
Solar and wind,
we
yes.
We can look at tidal energy.
Which cannot produce a base load of electricity at the price which you enjoy now when you turn on your lights, Ron. The other option is you go for coal, which I presume you also presume is also dirty as well. Would that be the reason?
No, I'm not saying that coal is dirty, and... global warming. I don't believe in that crap.
So here's the situation. But you're not a fan of nuclear energy, is what you're saying here, Ron?
I'd say it's dangerous, and unless it's, we might have to use it as weaponry. But I don't believe that we need to be putting power stations all over the country or anywhere in Australia. And look at Japan; it's a basket case.
Well, the thing is, it's not a basket case, Ron, but it certainly has its problems right now, just as other countries have had issues in the past. But I would actually make one observation to you: certainly, where it's not a stable environment, you've got to be very cautious. Yeah, Roger, jump in there as well.
I'd agree with that. I'd just say very quickly that you know the idea of building nuclear reactors on fault lines and where there's hundreds of earthquakes per year needs to be reconsidered.
Right, yeah. Let's go to Judith now. I think he's back in the line again. Hello, Judith.
Hi there, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Mate, I'm a first-time investor. I've never invested in the share market, but I've been very keenly watching the share market the past 1 year, and I've been holding myself from investing. But I do want to ask you that people have been advising me that to sort of invest money in mining shares. So I want to ask you guys, you guys being experts, that do you reckon current situation would affect the mining shares in future?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we're going to actually pick this up now. What you should do is pick up Roger's book, of course, which is...
Valuable. I think what you need to do before you start investing is buy a copy of my book.
Well, now, actually, I'll tell you what, buy a few things and read a few things, but certainly Roger's book will be one of them, Judith. But before you do it, and then set yourself up a portfolio, don't put any money in, and pretend for a little while. Practice, see what works, because you know what the whole thing is? The first amount of money you put in, you're most likely going to lose, so you might as well actually do it with mock portfolios that a lot of people don't do. In other words, practice to see if your theories work. I tell you, to all those callers I've left on the board, I apologise. To Roger Montgomery, though, I thank for your time, as always, here on Money News. Roger?